and welcome back to Give Us Smoke. I'm Neve.
I'm Megan.
And you are joining us for another episode
of Give Us Smoke.
Yeah. Just in case you were confused as to where you were.
You navigated yourself here. We're just making sure that I don't even know what I'm saying.
Nope. Last week we talked about Jim Jones and his lovely cult. It was a wild ride.
Yeehaw. It was a wild ride. I was editing it and I was like, so my computer, she was acting such a bitch last week.
Yeah, if it sounds rushed, it was.
I'm like not saying a word throughout the whole thing. And then at the end, I'm pretty sure I'm like, my head is horny from my pillow.
Oh, yeah. <laughs> Okay. I remember you saying that because I remember I was like, I did not know where you were going with it. Because you were like, my head is horny for my pillow. And I was like, okay.
Okay, girl.
Can you please wait till I leave?
No, so hopefully we're going to have a bit more talking this week. Last week, yeah, we were just a bit put off. I was a bit put off anyway. Neve was on her game as per usual. But yeah, I was pissed off at my laptop.
She be struggling. First of all, Megan's printer, dear Elizabeth over in the corner, hates me and won't print my shit.
And then we have Henrietta here.
Who's just like, I'm trying.
You can hear her in most of these podcasts. You can hear her struggling. Wait, listen. She sounds like she's about to fucking take off.
It's okay, good baby girl.
Oh girl, wait till the weekend when I try Play Sims 4.
And it's like, please no.
Screaming at me.
So, yeah, we talked about Jim Jones. If you really enjoyed that episode, sure, make sure and go check out some of our other stuff if you haven't done so already. And if you felt like it, you could leave us a review, because we love that. And if you do leave us a review, screenshot it, DM us on Instagram at GiveUsMorg, and we'll give you a shout out on the podcast.
We will. Ali Michelle, we see you.
Thank you. Snaps and claps.
Not very good at snapping. But
yeah. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Give Us More.
Sure can.
And you can also check out our website, which I've abandoned this week.
Yeah, I actually forgot about the website, to be honest.
Okay, look, we've been trying to give you all the content possible and, you know, it's a lot of work.
It is, actually.
When you've a 40-hour-a-week job and then have a little baby that's running around.
So this week I decided to bring you guys a case that I personally hadn't heard of until I started reading up on it. And then I was like looking for other podcasts and stuff on it just to see like who else has done it. Mm. And I couldn't find any. Now, that might just be my shit searching. But
No. We're the first podcast ever to cover this.
But it's about an Irish man. And this time around, I'm actually going to read straight from my notes because I usually I skim my notes. I'm like, yeah, no, I know it. And then I don't know it. And then I get it wrong. So
and we then move. Like, wait, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of paper shuffling.
Whoa. People. What did you think of Khloe Kardashian saying, putting up that post, right, where she's like, oh, the beauty standards and I can't adhere to them? And first of all, the photo that got posted of her,
she looks fucking lit.
Yeah, she looks great. And then the photo that she then put up, or the video that
the
she
video,
put up,
yeah,
was edited. It had a filter on it.
Okay.
Because you can see part of her rib moving in and out as she turns to the side.
Okay. So I seen a TikTok. I feel like the woman was kind of aggressive about it, but I also somewhat understood where she was coming from. So in the TikTok, she was like, you are the person, well, not just her.
Well, the Kardashians in general.
The Kardashians in general are the people who created this unachievable body standard.
Yes.
they had an opportunity to come out and say, like, okay, yeah, we have the money for fitness instructors, dietitians, chefs, fucking surgeries that mm-hmm. you can't afford, but we can afford because we have the money. But instead, they were like, hard working, gym time, this is just...
It's all me.
Yeah. So in one sense, I don't feel bad for her because it's like, yous are the reason that this unachievable body standard is out in the world.
Yeah.
And not just them. Just celebrities in general. Look how many celebrities lie about their fucking surgeries.
But, like, Kylie, she lied about getting lip fillers for years.
For years.
Even to the point where people were sticking shit onto their lips to plump them up.
Yeah.
Like, that was dangerous. And by her not coming out and saying, oh, I got
guys,
these lip
stop, I got lip fillers.
Yeah.
But this is what I mean. It's like, you're part of the problem. You're yeah. part of the reason why there's such an unachievable standard yeah. in the beauty industry.
And I think she has every right to be like, oh, I don't like this photo of me, please take it down.
She but does, absolutely.
I think it would have made more sense in pop culture. And
if she just owned it.
If she just owned it and like posted it and like let it live out there.
It's out there anyway. And I feel like her then posting videos being like,
yeah, where she has the thong halfway up her fucking back.
Yeah, it's like, you're posed, okay? That photo that was accidentally posted, I'd love to fucking look like that.
She looks amazing.
Yeah. I get that she didn't like the photo. We all have photos that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So now that our rant is over, Megan's gonna tell us a true crime case.
What is that fucking video on TikTok? You silly little goose.
Paul said that to me the other day and I was like, please don't.
Oh no, he did not.
Yeah, I forget what I did, but he was like, you silly goose. And I was like,
you silly little goose.
Yeah. And then he was like, why is that grossing you out? And then I had to explain that because I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
So I had to explain the video where she dressed sexy in jeans and a top. And then the boyfriend's like, you silly goose. Actually just made my stomach turn. Because I said that far too sexual.
I'm going to loop it on repeat right here. Okay.
It's going to be our new intro.
Make a fucking dubstep song out of it.
You silly goose.
Right.
What you got for us, Megan?
So, I have Patrick Joseph Byrne here.
Oh, hey, Patrick. Step on up for me to judge you.
So, the writing of this is a little bit funny because it originally was going to be the solo case, but it is now not the solo case because I got too excited. So, here it is. And it, yeah. So, Patrick Joseph Byrne was born in Dublin in 1931, the second oldest in an obviously traditionally large Irish Catholic family.
Oh, yeah. Because
condoms are the worst and the devil's work. Look at the devil coming through me.
Do not touch me with that condom.
Disgusting. Anyway, the family were super religious. Patrick is very, very close with his mother, but not so much with his father. I think his father was a bit abusive, as Irish Catholic fathers in the...
tend to be.
So growing up, Patrick was always quite small for his age and had never done very well in school.
Mm-hmm.
And his shyness was preventing him from building new relationships, leaving him quite the loner.
Fucking loser.
Fucking absolutely. What's the Irish word for an idiot?
Oh, couldn't tell you. Siri, what's the Irish word for loser? Oh, you bitch. Just talking to you.
Rude.
This bitch can't translate into Irish yet.
Oh, rude. Is it Gobbin? Amadon. He was a right Amadon. But because Patrick couldn't always grasp things very quickly at school, he would regularly be beaten by his teachers as discipline.
Yeah, which that was a thing.
Yeah, in my opinion, is just abuse disguised as discipline.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 8, he suffered a bad fall, which resulted in a broken leg and then him being left unconscious for several days.
Oh, shit.
Shit. And his mother never left his bedside, obviously.
That's the Irish mammy.
Patrick left school at the age of 14 to go working as a labourer, and he began drinking very heavily, thanks for that Irish stereotype. He remained close with his mother, but when he told his mother about some sexual relations he had been having with a widow...
Why would you tell your mum that?
See, I think he was of the opinion that, like... Well, I don't think. He was of the opinion that this widow had, like, put a spell or curse on him to, like, make him come back. But no, bro, it's just a pussy.
Yeah. She does... Obviously, couldn't hit.
She got that wop.
Still, why would you tell your mother?
Yeah, I think I genuinely think that he was like, this is weird.
Mom, help me.
And he's really religious too. So he's like...
Well, he's obviously not that religious.
Oh, he'd be on his knees praying. Oh, that doesn't make sense. She'd be on her... Somebody's on their knees praying. But yeah, he believed that she had put a spell on him so that he wouldn't have any luck with women his own age.
Mm.
Maybe it's because you look a little bit like a spud. Just a smidge. And moving forward from this, Patrick still never had any luck with women.
Okay.
The truth was that he was still very shy, a little bit, you know, reserved and fucking creepy. He was creepy, okay? So... His frustrations then manifested in different... They manifested. I'm manifesting into the world right now. That sounds like I'm... You know Eminem when he's like... Festing in your kid's ears and nesting.
No.
I'm Eminem, okay?
I thought you were going to say mom spaghetti.
Okay, story time. When I was a kid... In primary school, so what age you when you're in primary school? Like 8?
Yeah.
There was this guy that, like, I had a crush on. So, and he was all, like, about that rap life, you know? He was all, like, so cool.
I already love where this is going. 8-year-old Megan in love with an 8-year-old rap boy.
And I loved Eminem as a kid. I probably shouldn't know Eminem at 8 years old, but Janet used to play him all the time.
But you know what? You did anyway.
Yeah. And so he was like, no, I'm a better rapper. I know Eminem.
Did you so have we had a rap battle.
In the front of the whole class, my face was going red even thinking about it. And all this I could remember from the words was mom's spaghetti. So I was like, mom's spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
he won.
Shockingly.
The worst. It was an experience.
Did you think you were gonna, like, rap better than him and he'd just be like, wow.
Yeah, that he'd fall in love with me and fall at my feet.
What a rap goddess.
We'd go and save the dolphins together.
I must marry this queen.
Yeah.
That's great. I really... Like, honestly, that is...
in front of the whole class.
Those are the days when you didn't give a shit.
I'm, like, thinking of the teachers that were probably watching this all happen.
Oh my god, can you imagine being a teacher and watching your 2 8-year-olds in your class being like, his knees weak, arms are heavy, there's vomit on his sweater already, mom's spaghetti! And then the whole class is like, yeah, with the, like, you know, the hand movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
All extremely white
Oh, extremely white. And I don't know what it is about the boys that were in that school, but they were all like, yeah, we're part of these gangs. Even in sixth class, they were like talking about being in gangs and all. And I was like, I just read my magazine today.
Have you girls ever heard of Fallout Boy?
That's when I started to wear eyeliner. And you know what? This fucking bitch ratted on me because I started wearing eyeliner to school. And then this other girl started wearing eyeliner to school and she got in trouble for it. And she was like, but Megan wears eyeliner. But nobody fucking knew because I wore glasses. So nobody looked right into my eyeballs. We are way off topic. I'm so sorry. I hope you enjoyed that story about my rap battle.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yes. So Patrick's frustrations from not basically...
He was manifesting
different fantasies he would have about women.
Gross.
They are violent and bloody because, of course, like, what else?
Doy.
And one particular fantasy was about putting women through a circular saw.
What? I was going to say that's not normal, but, like, obviously it's not normal.
I mean, if you're having fantasies of putting women through a circular saw, like... You got problems.
You need Jesus.
So in his early 20s, Patrick was convicted on 3 counts of housebreaking in Dublin, which is just the beginning of his bad behaviours. And he was probably breaking into houses to steal underwear.
Gross. Sorry, I had to yawn.
Gross. Okay. At the age of 26, Patrick's family moved to England. They settled in Warrington, but in the 1950s, Patrick found work in Birmingham, fixing up a shop there with his employers, Osborne and Co. Builders. For this time, Patrick stayed in a lodging house on Islington Row. Patrick never did have a girlfriend or any luck with romantic relationships.
Shocker.
Weird, right?
He's can't a understand real patch. Why.
Total dreamboat.
I want him.
Right?
Call him, move over.
Patrick's in town.
Gross.
No, he took to getting his kicks from spying on women through their windows.
Of course.
And he became a known peeping Tom. Like, he was known for it. The fucking... like, why?
How bad do you have to be known as a peeping Tom?
Yeah, apparently somebody, like, sprayed a wall close to his house with, like... I can't remember exactly what the words were, but it was, like, something about him being a peeping Tom. Like, peeping burn or something.
Jack is a peeping Tom. His name's not Jack.
Or Patrick is a peach and
but you could, but if you could just, would you?
He's a peeping Patrick.
He's a peeping Patrick.
Peeping Paddy. That's what it's
gonna
it
say. The Paddy down the road is a peeping Tom.
There's so many people.
Okay, so just to clarify, I called him Jack and I should not have.
Anyway, he really liked the YWCA hostel that was not far from his lodgings.
I'm gonna be like, he really liked peeping.
He did. The YWCA is where he did most of his peeping. So this building apparently is like stunning. It was built by this historian guy that did like a bunch of good work, and it was like for... it was a Christian thing where women went to go stay.
Okay.
Hostel situation.
And then Patrick's just there like...
yeah, fogging up the windows with his fucking dirty alcohol breath.
Ew.
But yeah, he liked it because there was a lot of opportunity to see women in various states of undress through their windows.
Gross.
Yeah.
Various states of undressed. Ooh, this one still has her pajamas on. Ooh, this one's missing her bottoms.
Ooh, she's taking off her petticoat.
The petticoat's coming off.
Yeah, no, we're talking about like the 50s here. It's really not that long ago.
No, it's really not that long ago.
So he once actually entered the room of a woman staying there and he started like walking towards her as he stared at her.
That's nasty.
Yeah, she was wearing a nightdress and apparently he was like staring at her chest.
Gross.
as he was like making his advancement towards her. So the woman just was super cool. She just calmly told Patrick that she was engaged and he left the room.
I can't believe that worked.
Yeah. His like religious upbringing and beliefs and all of that he held, that he still held, would have put her in the quote good category of women.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then in 1958, Patrick's drinking was getting more and more out of control. He threatened a barkeeper who refused to serve him more alcohol and then spent 2 months in prison for assaulting a police officer.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Chill. So just before I go any further, I'm just going to take a quick ad break. And welcome back from the ads.
Hope you really enjoyed it.
Anything good? No?
Oh.
Okay. So, on the 23rd of December 1959, 29-year-old shorthand typist Sydney Stephanie Baird, who prefers to go by her middle name, Stephanie, she was in her room at the YWCA in Birmingham getting changed for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, just, you know,
getting changed.
Yeah, in her pajamas, halfway through getting into her pajamas, and she heard a noise at the door.
Gross.
So at the top of her door was like, you know, those windows in those old style houses? Not even old style, like just the way there was windows at the top of doors. And Patrick had been peeping inside. So she went and she opened the door and she was greeted by Patrick. Stephanie asked him what he was doing and he responded saying that he was looking for someone. So when she offered to go and get the warden to help him, because like it's a women's only situation.
Yeah.
Patrick forcefully kissed her.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, he pushed her back into the room and then grabbed her throat. After a struggle, Stephanie was pushed to the ground where Patrick then lay on top of her, strangling her while sexually assaulting her. He said in a later statement, quote, "She screamed and I put my hands around her neck. She went backwards inside the room with me squeezing her throat. I was lying on top of her, kissing and squeezing her at the same time. I heard a couple of small noises from her throat, but kept on kissing her." Stephanie died from the strangulation, but Patrick didn't stop.
Ew.
Yeah, he continued to sexually assault Stephanie as she was dying and as she was dead.
That poor girl.
Yeah, it's absolutely awful. And like, she was getting ready to head home for Christmas. Like, the last time she'd been seen that day was she was going to get her hair done to go home.
Sweetie.
I know.
How nasty do you have to be?
Oh, he's vile. He's a vile human being. He then found a bread knife in the room and he used that to cut Stephanie's chest, like sliced her chest. And then he cut off her right breast.
Bro!
Which he then attempted to fucking cannibalize after putting some sugar on it.
Bro!
What goes through your head? Like, how?
What
does your brain make that in your head?
Where does your brain go? Where does it go that you're like, I know?
Yeah. He then used the same knife to decapitate her. A bread knife.
Bruh, she's already dead. Why are you decapitating her?
Like,
you could have just left. Like, you could have just left.
You could have just done nothing at all. You could have just fucking stayed in his room that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then before leaving the room, Patrick left a note on an envelope that read, quote, "This is the thing I thought would never come." Don't go feeling sorry for yourself after what you've just done, sir.
Bruh, what did you do? Did you really think that you could just, like, go peeping in women's windows and that it wouldn't progress?
It always progresses!
God, it's like he's never seen an episode of Criminal Minds.
He placed Stephanie's head on the bed alongside the knife and left the room. The whole act took over an hour.
I imagine it was a bread knife.
What the fuck? And then, crazed, Patrick decided he hadn't yet had enough.
Oh, of course not.
Of course. So he decided to steal a bra from the washing line And he found a pretty large stone and he put it inside it and like made his own little DIY thing, weapon. He hunted for his next victim in the same building. And this time he set his sights on 21-year-old Margaret Brown.
Oh, Margaret.
Yeah, she was in the laundry room ironing her clothes and getting ready again to go back home to Scotland for Christmas. So she's just ironing her clothes, like living her life.
Yeah, probably drinking some iron brew.
Okay, you know what? I'll allow it because we've had Patrick here who is just the Irish stereotype all the way.
Yeah.
She heard the main door of the building opening and she went to check. She closed it, assuming that the strong winter winds had blown it open. It wasn't long before it happened again, but this time when she went to check it, she was greeted by the shadow of a man. Patrick stood there with his DIY weapon and he hit Margaret across the head with it. But she, like, somehow managed to duck, like she got hit.
Yeah, but not as brutally as she would have.
Yeah. Now, as she kind of fell to the ground, she let out this huge scream, which caused Patrick to flee while another resident of the hostel called the police. When the police arrived, they started to check the other rooms in the hostel to make sure everyone was all right. They couldn't gain access to room 4, so an officer went around to room 4's window from the outside to have a look inside, and he kind of saw that there was somebody lying on the floor, like he could see some legs.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, so that gave him enough to be able to break down the door.
Yeah.
Him and another officer. So the two officers that were first on scene were sick.
I only imagine. Can you imagine, like, okay, you see legs on the floor. You're like, shit, someone's either unconscious or God knows what.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, your brain doesn't expect to be, like, her head in the bed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the blood and the...
Oh, stop it, Niamh, no.
I'm sorry. this is where my brain goes.
Well, they ended up taking extended sick leave from the job.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. But the search immediately began for the suspect. A witness who saw the man, Patrick, leaving the scene around 7:40 p.m., described him...
Oh, God, it's like not even 8 p.m. yet.
No, it's not.
Fuck me, Patrick.
Yeah. And the thing is that he'd been out drinking all day as well with his cousins. So it's like...
Bruh.
What are you doing? Don't you, like, have a job? But anyway. The witness described him as about 5'8" tall, aged 25 to 27, with a reddish face, fair hair, and a square chin. Could you fucking describe an Irish man any better?
Especially when you said red face has like a
yeah, and he, like, he has the round face with the big bulgy nose, like he's an ugly motherfucker.
Oh, he's the alcoholic nose.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean by that as well, which is really bad.
Welcome to Ireland.
So any Christmas time off for the local police was called off as a massive manhunt began.
Not only did he kill that poor woman and assault another, he ruined the police's Christmas.
Yeah. Ruined Christmas basically for England because all of England was like, shit.
Oh, fuck.
What the fuck, yeah. The police worked with the media to ensure maximum coverage. By 11 p.m. that night, the country had been given the horrific details via a press conference, and this was pretty weird because you usually had your like morning conferences or like your 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, really late by the time this conference had gone up. And then not long after the press conference, a bus driver of the number 8 inner city bus called in with the lead. A man had gotten on the bus, covered in blood, and had sat upstairs before getting off in the small heath area of Birmingham. Samples were taken of the blood left behind by the suspect that matched the blood group of Stephanie Bird. Not only that, but Patrick had left behind shoe prints at the scene.
Wow.
Smart. He discarded the shoes, but they were found and handed over to the police. So he literally left them, like, beside a bin somewhere. And somebody was like, these are covered in blood.
He didn't even leave them in the bin.
No.
It's like, you wanna get caught.
Yeah, it really is. At this point, Patrick had managed to get home because he literally lived like only a few hundred meters away from the hostel.
Mm.
He started to write a suicide note because he's feeling real sorry for himself now.
Yeah, real Christian of you.
Yeah, but he gave up with that idea.
Yeah, of course he did.
Because guess what? His mom would never forgive him for committing suicide at Christmas.
But like, she'd so forgive him for murdering women.
For sure.
Totes.
Now, that night, he actually slept in the bed with his cousin because he was apparently too afraid to be alone with himself. He couldn't believe what he'd done.
Let me take out my violin for you.
The next day, Patrick went back to Warrington to stay with his mother over the Christmas period. And then he decided to stay with her after landing another labouring job close by. And I really wonder why he didn't want to go back to Birmingham.
Not at all suspicious.
Bit weird. No, can't believe it. Over 300 police officers worked tirelessly over the next 7 weeks. An incident room was set up and extra phone lines were installed for any tips from the public coming in. They really had nothing until they comprised a list of the men who lived close to the hostel and men who should be questioned in the area. The police worked constantly with the media to keep the case alive. House calls were made by the police and the police would ask these certain questions to the men. Patrick Byrne answered these questions, but when reading back over the answers later, the police officer who had done the interview felt the answers were inconsistent.
Okay.
So then Patrick Byrne was called in again for another interview to the police station in Arkley Street, which is where he's living now.
Mm-hmm.
The detectives usually worked off that one particular questionnaire, but on the 9th of February 1960, when Patrick sat in the small chair in the interrogation room, Detective Welburn mentioned possibly taking a print of his fingerprints.
Yeah.
Which they usually wouldn't, and this set Patrick off altogether. He stated, quote, "I want to tell you about the YWCA. I had something to do with that. It has been on my mind." Completely stunned by the outright confession, the detective asked Patrick to draw a picture of the scene, as he would have left it, which he did. He was then brought back to Birmingham to stand trial.
Yeah.
So Patrick's story was never going to check out. His cousin said that Patrick had been with him that night, which wasn't exactly a lie, because Patrick slept in the bed with him.
Yes.
And the fact that he'd been out drinking that day with his cousins.
Yeah.
It kind of gave only like 2 hours window for him to have committed the crime.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, he wouldn't have done it. Couldn't possibly have done it. He was with me all day, when 2 hours is really a lot of time. Patrick had also originally told police that he had gone back to Warrington on the 23rd of December, not the 24th, which was a lie.
The dirty bastard.
Mm-hmm.
Lying to the police.
So Patrick stood trial in March of 1960, where psychiatrists took the stand for the defence and claimed that Patrick was a sexual psychopath.
Yeah, he's a sexual psychopath. He did it.
Oh, he big did it.
Big time. Big time sexual psychopath.
I feel like it doesn't take much. I feel like I could have gotten that myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like we more or less said that at the beginning.
Yeah. With the circular saw thing, it's a little bit weird.
Just a tad.
Patrick was sentenced to life in prison after the all-male jury deliberated for 7 hours. Later, this was reduced to manslaughter because they were like, oh, he wasn't in his right state of mind at the time, blah de blah. And Patrick was released on probation in 1993. However, his creepy behaviour continued and he was put back in prison in 1999. And I don't know where he is now. I don't know if he's still kicking. I doubt it, because that would make him like 90.
I mean, Prince Philip lived to 99.
So that is the story of Patrick Joseph Byrne. What did you think of that bad boy?
He's gross.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, like, super dumb.
Oh, very dumb. And I feel so sorry for Stephanie. Like, imagine you're just, like,
can you imagine how
changed.
Scary her last moments were?
I'd prefer not to, but that's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm a good religious man. Suck my fucking left tit, you piece of shit.
And you know, he would. He'd probably put sugar on it first,
though. Oh, no, 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 no. Why did I have to say that? And I, like, as soon as it came out of my mouth. Anyway, I'm gonna wrap it up right here.
Mm-hmm. If you really like this episode, go check out some of her other stuff if you haven't done so already. And you can also leave us a review to tell us how much you loved her content. Or if you have some constructive criticisms. Always want the constructive criticism.
I'm currently not open to taking any criticisms.
Oh, okay. No criticism of any kind. Yeah, but if you leave us a review, you can always screenshot it, send to us on Instagram at giveusmorg, and we will give you a shout out on the podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at giveusmorg for updates on new episodes and other nonsense. And if you want to see who you're listening to, you can always check out our own personal Instagrams, which is at megpowell_ and at mrs_. Also check out our website. We promise we're working on it.
As we always are, lads. Look, it's
supposed to be a fun hobby.
Life is a highway.
I wanna ride all night long.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the words.
We're gonna go eat some cookie cream.
Cookie fruits. Alright, peace out. Have a great week, guys. Love y'all.
#love.